Good morning, everyone. My name is Tim and I'm an alcoholic. It's good to see everyone. And it's an honor and a privilege to be here. And Jimmy, thank you for asking me. It's an opportunity to do service and to tell my story. And I've known many of you for a very long time, 20 years plus. And I've given my story before, but I also know that, that things can get updated and there's different versions that can come out and whatnot. And so there's definitely been some updates in my story, and I'll certainly share here in a few minutes and get it going. So thank you for having me. The one thing I will say, and for people that don't know, I jumped on the last 5 minutes of the business meeting, and the topic of the conversation was Zoom, and that maybe some of the attendance writ large has probably gone down because people are going back into in-person meetings, and I think in-person meetings are important. But I'll tell you right now, Zoom saved my life. Zoom meetings were the difference, especially during COVID. And I can talk a little bit more towards the end about that. But also, as part of my transition in careers, I've moved into social work, and for the last 2 years, I was in school. And I was working when I was in school during the semesters, it was 60, 65 hours a week. And because of Zoom, I was able to get to a meeting just about every day. And it's I think so important. It can be such a great tool, and I hope it continues. I'm sure it'll be around. It's not going away, but I just find it so instrumental in my sobriety, because without it, it would have been really difficult for me to get to meetings. But I was able to get to meetings in the morning. This was one of them as well, and I've got a variety of meetings that I go to in the morning. But it made a difference in my life. I just want to put a plug in for that. So, but again, my name is Tim Vanini, and I was born here in Buffalo. My sobriety date is July 8th, 2001. So in July, I celebrated 23 years of sobriety, and it's because of you guys that I was able to stay sober. It's because of these tables of AA. It's because of the steps, the structure that has kept me alive. And because without it, I'm not sure exactly what would have happened to me. And like I said, I'm from this area. And I will touch on what it used to be like, and how things change and what it's like now. But I'll just say that I grew up as an only child to parents who were very supportive, very loving, wanted the best for me, did everything they could to have the best for me. And but I was one of these kids that, there was some problems, and really not from getting into a lot of trouble or anything, is in fact completely really opposite of that. I was scared into doing the right things, to be honest with you. But what it was really about was just some learning difficulties and understanding things. And I needed to do a lot of work in reading and writing, extra work. Socially, it was awkward for me growing up as a kid, and I struggled with some of those things. But one of the things that helped me before I even had my first drink was sports, and I was really good at sports, and I was able to take it pretty far in life, right into college as well. And it was really a great time. But having that emotional and social intelligence and all that was kind of difficult, and it would get me into some difficulties. And it was either what I said. A lot of times it was what I said, and I didn't quite mean it the way I said, but it landed the wrong way. And alcohol exacerbated that. And I can tell you that I struggled to be in relationships. I struggled. I truly didn't know what a friend was. And so often that we read in the books, whether it's the 12 and 12 or the big book, We make demands on people. And I didn't understand for a very long time what the difference between a demand and a request was. And I would make demands on people, and that would twist relationships. And so, that was one aspect of that was happening. And but I can tell you, I had my first drink probably when I was about 14 years old. And I'll tell you, number one, I didn't like the taste of beer. I didn't. I choked it down at the first bottle of beer that I ever had. I never was really into liquor, never really did any drugs or anything like along those lines ever. But beer was my thing eventually. But what I did like about the taste of alcohol, excuse me, what I would say, what I liked about the effects of alcohol was it changed the way I was thinking. It helped me relax. I felt connected to people. I would have a good time. Understanding this word fun was a tough thing for me. And I'll tell you, I'll get to a little quick story there in a second. But I found that alcohol really helped me socially engage, and it was that lubricant. And so I, but funny thing was, it wasn't like something I started drinking and got into it. I, in fact, I didn't even touch another beer till I was probably 17 years old. And that was, in high school and in the second half of the year. And I'm already in college and parties are starting to pick up and graduation and everything like that. And I start to really engage with drinking. And, I had no consciousness of what I was doing as far as drinking, and I just drank. I just was doing what everyone else was doing. It felt good, and yeah, there was the hangover and everything. But you know what? Everyone else goes through a hangover. Who cares? That was kind of my mindset. And then I got to college, and when I got to college, it really took off, and I started to really get my priorities twisted. It was about, playing hockey. It was about drinking and meeting women. And oh yeah, maybe I'll get to my academics. And that first 6, 7 weeks, I did what all the upperclassmen were doing. They were going out 3, 4, 5 times a week before the season really got going, and that's what I was doing. And yeah, I just did. I go to classes and everything. Yeah, I went to classes, but I wasn't engaged with my classes. I just had twisted relationships, and it was one of these things where it was kind of like I have arrived too, because no one in my family had gone to a college. No, didn't have university behind them whatsoever, and I was the first one to do it, and it was that kind of I have arrived. So, had 4 wonderful years. Yes, I still drank hard, but I played hard, and I started to get my act together academically, because that first semester was absolutely pitiful. And I didn't fail out, but it wasn't good. And I had a talking to, like, you need to get your act together here a little bit. And so I did, and I did all that. And I had a good year. I mean, I had a good 4 years, hockey wise and all that. But I didn't have the best of relationships, and there were some things going on that I didn't quite understand were happening with me. And towards the end, I didn't realize, people tolerated me, but at the same time, they kept their distance from me. And I was good at hockey. I was a good teammate in that regard. And but there was just like, Vinny's a good guy, but. And so when I graduated from school, where things really changed my trajectory, I was 23 years old. And the short story was is that my father took his life. And oh, let me just back up 1 second. When I was in college, it was my senior year. And one thing that happened was every year I would just go to my assistant coaches the year's over, and I would just say, what can I look to improve on? And I had done that every year. And Got to my end of my junior year, and two of the assistant coaches said the same thing to me. He's like, "Vinny, when are you going to have some fun? You know, I just took things so seriously." And it was this drive that I had, which was good, but it was also, it's like, "Vinny, when are you going to have fun?" And the only way I could have fun was to drink. That was basically it. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to be around people. And lo and behold, I just had this pattern of I was out Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It was games. It was get prepping for the games and getting ready on the weekends and all that. But that was my pattern. And I use alcohol as a crutch. I tell you that story because when I lost my father, what did I do? I used alcohol as a crutch. He didn't have back then, this is in 91, 92, of course, and a lot of people know this. He didn't have this conversation of mental health and what's going on or loss and grief and talk to other people and deal with it. I had no concept of that. So I used alcohol as a crutch. I used it as a way to get through this terrible situation that had happened. And I thought I was doing the right thing. I really did. And I remember after 2 years, I just remember just going, I just had a moment and I says, I'm okay. And I didn't realize that I didn't realize a lot of things with this, but one of the things was is that it came up eventually when I started doing a fourth and fifth step when I came into the program that you need to deal with some things and that and alcohol was the way that I thought I was dealing with things, but I didn't. And through it all, I was irritable. I was discontent. All the verbiage that we talk about in this, in the big book in 12 and 12, I was without alcohol. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to be around people. I would get nervous. I would, and then I couldn't really think that well. And so, I thought everyone dealt with life this way, and they really didn't. And so, fast forward, I hit a point in my late 20s. I had been coaching a college hockey program in Central New York, and I just realized that something was amiss here, something was going on. And it was actually a friend of mine that said to me, why don't you consider seeing a therapist? And I don't know, and she goes, just give it a shot, see what happens. She didn't force it down my throat. She didn't say, she just very gentle, like I've learned in my experience has been in AA. It's here if you want it, but if you don't want it, go do some more research. And I was drinking at the time, but I started working with this woman and she helped me out tremendously. She helped me see some things that I couldn't see. And I bring that up because it is in our book that, there are other people that can help us out. And I look at the fundamentals of AA with Jung and the Oxford groups and Dr. Silkworth and all that. These were people that didn't have this problem, but they helped us out. And this was a woman that helped me see some things. And she basically slow walked me in until I got there that, maybe I have a problem with alcohol. And I was in Central New York and I ended up making a career decision to go back to graduate school. And I was back in East Lansing, Michigan, because I had gotten a previous graduate degree there before. And that's where I started getting into the program. And I just said to myself, I don't want to quit drinking because I like drinking. At that point, I liked the taste and all that. I just want to learn how to control my drinking. I seriously, that's what I wanted to do. And I said, I had stopped drinking for 11 months one time, and I know I can do this. So this AA thing, okay. I'm not sure what's going to come out of this. I don't, maybe I can just learn, sober, not sober, but, learn how to drink three beers and have controlled drinking. And that's really was my secret intent, to be honest with you. And I figure I'll snoop around and see how this thing goes for 11 months. I did it before, I'll do it again. And that was my aim and goal. And little did I know, it took me about 6 to 9 months to figure it out that this was about abstinence. And this was about, stopping drinking and understanding what was happening because there was a few things that happened that almost turned me off. It was number one, I showed up to the first meeting I ever went to. It was in an East in on the East Club, they called it. And I show up, it was this narrow room. Now, this is back in 2001. New York had just passed no smoking in public areas, but Michigan had not. And I walked into this small room, and the smoke was from the ceiling, literally halfway down the wall of the room, literally. I mean, I could honestly tell you it was about 5, 6 feet of smoke. It was a smoke wall. And everyone, I kid you not, bitched about their parole officer. And I was like, this is Alcoholics Anonymous. You got to be kidding me. And this isn't for me. And but fortunately, I had been schooled a little bit, and I got an inkling of something to come through that just said, hey, go to other meetings, go to meetings that fit you, because everyone's different and every meeting is different. So treat it that way. And I was like, okay, well, I did that. And I ended up going to a Thursday meeting at 8 o'clock. It was the third and 11th step meeting. And I met some people there, and I said, oh, I can listen to this. But here was the thing that I was doing. I was comparing my story versus identifying. And that was the limit of my really emotional thinking. I compared my story to these people, and I heard stories about people, doing crack and other drugs, or I was hearing stories about just they would go out on a bender, and they would wake up in another area. It didn't matter. It was just crazy. And I was just like, I don't know if this is really for me. But fortunately, a few things got through about just stick around and just see if this is for you. And I was sticking to my whole thing. I've done this for 11 months. I'll stick it out. But I was fortunate. I was really lucky, and I was able to get through it by just listening. Listening to, and I just kept coming, and people reached out to me, just keep coming back, just keep coming. And I did, and I started to identify slowly but surely what the stories were about. And in about 6 or 9 months, I would say about 9 months, I identified with, I said, oh, maybe, yeah, I do have a problem. And I remember sharing it with friends and just saying, yeah, Tim, what's going on these days? And I just shared with my closest friends. I didn't blurt this out, but I just said, yeah, I've been addressing my drinking problems. And I remember, call them, hurdles, let's just say. I told you two of them. The third one was like, you don't drink that bad. I mean, you're not drinking every day. You can. It's not like you're crazy or anything like that. And yeah, everyone goes out and has a bender on the weekend and everything, because I wasn't an everyday drinker. But I soon learned that I would just tell them, look, there's more to it than that. And fortunately, I didn't listen to them or anything. I realized I got a problem. And I had three lovely men that helped me out, and they believed in shared sponsorship out there. And that's what I followed what they said. I just like, I want what you guys have. And I had a wide range of experience of sobriety amongst those three men. From at the time, Paul had like 3 or 4 years, Mike had about 10 years, and Dick had about 25 years at the time. And they walked me through it, and there was some rigidity to it, but that's what I needed. I had to call each one of them on a different day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, each one. And then, we sat down after the meeting, and after, excuse me, the Saturday meeting, and we just talked, and we talked about what happened this week. And at first I was resistant to it. Why do I need three sponsors? And, it was just their way of checking in, see what Tim is saying. And the famous line out there was that we're not going to co-sign your bullshit. And it was just, okay. I didn't realize I had that bullshit, but apparently I did, because they did call me out on it, and I needed to hear that. And so, I won't go through all the steps, and I'm going to mix some things in here, but what I'll say, what I really learned in East Lansing is I was out there for 4 years. And so I was there from 2001 to 2005, and I had gone through the steps multiple times, but I really started to learn really the first three steps, you know, this unmanageability that I had. I mean, life was good. I was in graduate school. I had a heck, I had a job where I had a position, a graduate position where I was getting paid. I was doing well. It's not like I was suffering or anything like that, but they taught me this unmanageability that I have in my life, and that unmanageability, yeah, it's the drink, but yeah, it's this emotional sobriety piece as well too. And they really helped me in step two, clean out the my just my connection. I grew up Roman Catholic, and you know, I had this relationship with God that you do for me and I'll do for you. And that was my relationship. And they taught me, you know, Tim, did you ever stop and think that that relationship that you have is the same relationship you have with other people and how you're treating that? And the inside game is playing out to the outside game. And I didn't get that at first, but I really need to be schooled in my unmanageability. I could stop drinking, but I didn't understand the unmanageability piece. And it goes back to relationships and where I was. And then step three, it was really about, Tim, you know, take the time to make a decision. And what they really helped me with is really help with structure, and they helped me with connection. And so the structure piece was I had items they started me out on, stuff that I did every day, which was get on my knees 2 minutes in the morning, 2 minutes in the afternoon, read 2 pages and reflect on it. To, you know what, cleanliness is next to godliness. Clean up your apartment every week. Make sure your finances are good. Have you paid your bills? You say you got a job. Have you paid your bills and what you needed to do? These were the things that I needed to hear, because I could get really relaxed on some of this stuff. So it was really helpful. When I moved to Buffalo 2005, and I was here in Buffalo till 2017, and this is where I continued being coming into the program. This is where I met a lot of you, and I was going to a bunch of meetings, and I found a sponsor, and it was only one sponsor. It wasn't three sponsors and all that good stuff. But I found a sponsor who's a lovely man who you all know, and he has a sponsor, and it was very similar to Michigan. You know, the sponsors I had sponsors and up and down the line. And I learned so much about going through the steps. And there's so many things that Chuck taught me and all that. But you know what, I'll talk about the fourth and fifth step here a little bit. But what was truly amazing is that, you know, it just had been drilled in my head, the fourth step. You know, just I had done it a few different ways in East Lansing. I had wrote it out. I did the columns and everything like that. And Chuck taught me some other ways of looking at it, like, why don't we look at it from the seven deadly sins? Why don't we take a look at the questions that are in the 12 and 12 and write those out, and why don't you answer those? And I needed that. I needed to be pulled in those different directions, and it helped me see me, and it helped me see how I was in relationships a little bit further. And it's just the old adage, the pebble drops, and it goes deeper and deeper, and more is revealed. I was truly, this was the first time I was going around men's meetings as well too. In East Lansing, it was set up a little bit differently, but I just happened to go to, they were just co-ed meetings that resonated with me, and I was, you know, connected to my sponsors at those meetings. And this is where I started going to men's meetings and started to have relationship with men, and it helped improve my relationships. And it helped improve my relationship with my higher power, and so on and so forth. And it made such a difference. The other thing I would say in the fifth step, it was the first time truly that when I sat down and went over my fifth step, I cried. I mean, it just, the pebble went down a little bit further, and it just started coming out. And it was truly an experience of being with my sponsor, my higher power. And I'm incredibly grateful for Chuck helping me with that, because it was truly a spiritual experience for me, one of many, and truly grateful for that. And it just broke the walls down, and it just helped me out tremendously. And through my 12 years, I really got into service, and this is the connection piece that really helped me. It was one thing for me to go to meetings. It was another thing for me to be in connection. And I think this is just Tim's mindset here. I think what's really important for anyone that's dealing with an addiction, I think it's important for anybody, but especially people dealing with addiction, because I can isolate, I can push people away, I can be irresponsible, and I can wind up in the wrong crowds. And so for me, I think there it really comes down to a few things. Willingness is key. Do I really want to get sober or not? I really did when I hit that 9 month mark that I was telling you about. But then for me, it's about connection. It's about structure, and it's about my environment. And what's incredible is that tw the 12 steps have truly helped me with connection. And it starts with the connection with my higher power. It helps the connection in going to meetings and seeing all of you here. I am not doing this by myself. Hence, I am not in isolation. Sometimes I can get isolated if I don't go to meetings and I'm isolated in my head, but I'm not in isolation. And it's the we of this program that is so huge. And shoulder to shoulder, we commence this journey each and every day. Not just, the big picture, but also each and every day as well, too. At least that's the way I look at it. And the environment that I need to be connected and with people that are like-minded. And I can, at times I can meander, and it's not good for me. And it's but at the same time, I've also developed other skills that these steps have helped me with tolerance and love and allowing people to be who they are and not judging. I'm a heck of a lot better than what I used to be, that's for sure. As my time developed has developed in this program, it has become better and better, and it's been a soul's journey. And I'm incredibly grateful for that, because when I come to meetings, I'm involved with the program, things start to happen that I can't believe. And part of that happened. I'm just going to fast forward here and just be mindful of time here. I had made a move in 2017. I had a business. A big part of my time back in Buffalo for 12 years, and I had a business, and it just came to the point where it was time to move on from that. And I sold my business. And I had an opportunity to move down to Ithaca and work at the university down there, and I'm glad I did it. It was a great opportunity to combine my different backgrounds, whether it was entrepreneurship or academia, and ended up. It's a funny thing was that when I moved down there, I instantly got involved with AA down there. First of all, they have a clubhouse down there on 518 Seneca, in case you ever want to go. There's a ton of meetings that they run out of there. And it just so happened when I was up here in Buffalo, I would go to lawyers weekends. And lo and behold, I meet Rick W., who ended up being my sponsor down there. And I also connected to another gentleman down there, and he helped me out. They both helped me out tremendously and got me connected right away. And I just loved that. It was just this instant connection. I just show up and knew people and got involved with Ithaca AA. And the part I want to get to is what I talked about already, but when COVID hit, it was a situation where at the school I got laid off, and I won't go into the details about that, but I was just looking. My position was sunsetting. I was looking for other positions. COVID hit, and essentially they were shutting down the university, and I was on a part-time basis and got let go, and it was very unfortunate. Of course, what happened here with AA is everything went on Zoom, And my sponsor and I just talked, okay, Tim, what are you going to do here? Because it was really tough, obviously, to look for any jobs or anything like that. But, we talked out a strategy and he just said, start going to meetings. And that's what I started to do. And Zoom was incredibly helpful. And I was going to 10, 15 meetings a week, and it saved my life. And I heard all sorts of different stories. It was really an incredible time just to listen to meet different people, hear their stories. And I'll tell you, one of my incredible moments was when the Ukraine war broke out. I don't know how this happened, but I ended up getting a flyer from somebody. And they were having an AA meeting for people that were in the Ukraine. And it was just absolutely, it was such a moving moment because this was in the beginning stages of the war there. And there was literally, I think the meeting started at noon. You literally had to get on the meeting at 11:30 because by 12, 11:40, you couldn't get on. And when the meeting started, this was back when they couldn't expand it like they could now with the number of participants. They had 1,000 people on this meeting, and there was probably only about nine or ten Ukrainians actually in the Ukraine. And when you were there, it was dark. I mean, you could barely see some of their faces on the screen. Because they had to keep it dark. They were getting bombed. They were down in basements. But it was, to me, so moving, given the time that we were living in. It was so moving to me that if there's a will, there's a way. And damn it, we're gonna have a freaking AA meeting for people that want it. And that's what happened. It was truly an incredible moment during that time. What was also starting to happen as well too, was that Rick got the Buffalo Step action from Dave and Chuck, and he had been orchestrating that, and I started to work with Rick on what we called Ithaca Step Action. And to this day, we keep Ithaca Step Action going. We have it actually. I'm going to be on that meeting at noon if you're interested in joining us. And we do the steps, and we get people from all over the country. It's a small group. It's about 10 people, but they want to work the steps, and we do it in a variety of different ways. We got someone from San Diego. We got a few people from New York. We got some people from Ithaca. It's really great. And to me, that's the power of Zoom as well too. It helps keep me connected. I have a structure, and it's an environment where it's the right people that I want to be around and learn from, because I do have a disease that will kill me if I don't respect it, and if I don't do the things that I need to do that you taught me to do. Because I tried this on my own with this 11 month spiel that I tried it for 11 months and it didn't work. But you've taught me how to stay connected, to have the structure, and to be in the right environment. And that's what I've done. And during that time, I was in a situation where I made a career change and I went back to school. 53 years old, I went back to school, and I went back into social work, and I'm a counselor today. I am working at Horizons, and I work with people that are dealing with mental health and addiction. And it's been fulfilling ever since the moment I went back to school. There have been things that have happened with the backdrop of a 12-step program. I have learned so many different things, not only about myself, but about this disease, about a lot of things. I'll just leave it at that. And I'm incredibly grateful for that. And this all happens because of working the steps. This all happens being connected to you guys. And not only the meeting, but the meeting outside of the meeting, and playing golf, or showing up at Denny's for a picnic, those are the things that are really awesome. And going out to the picnic, Tom C and I are in the car, and we're talking about whatever. And it was truly like a bonding experience, and I really appreciate it. So my life today is incredibly rewarding. I have my moments. There's times that it's not going well, but instead of going and grabbing a drink, I go, okay, it's just one of those days. It's just like I had to learn that. I had to learn that from you guys. And of course, that calls on being connected to my higher power. That's the first thing I've got to look at. I can't tell you how many times I talk to Chuck. I call him up, especially when I was here in Buffalo from 05 to 17, every time, like, Tim, you're not connected to your higher power. It's like, I don't want to hear this. I want you to hear my problem. No, okay, I'll listen, but you're not connected to your higher power. It's like, okay, yeah, you're right. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. I'm incredibly grateful. It's amazing what starts to happen. Sometimes when I'm loose with the steps and I have to check in and go, oh, okay, maybe I gotta do something here or adjust appropriately. When I'm really working the program, man, it's amazing what happens. And at least I'm not all over the place. Thank God I have guardrails that keep me on the road and keep me on the path, because there's a saying that's out there that I think is really important. Doesn't matter how far down the road you go, Tim, the ditch is to the left and there's a ditch to the right. And I can have all this time in AA, but if I don't stay on the path, it's easy to get lost. Go left or right, and I'm in a ditch, and I'm back out there drinking. That's the last thing I want to do. The other quote that resonates with me here, and I'll wrap up with this, is a quote that I heard a couple of years ago, and it says, the skills that got you out of Egypt are not the same skills that are going to get you to the promised land. And that resonates with me, because what I learned early in AA are fundamental and they're important, but also with having many days in the program, I have to improve my skills. And so I can't relax on what happened even 3 or 4 days ago. I'm trying to work on my maintenance of my program, knowing that this is a daily reprieve, to take it one step at a time, and to have patience, to work on that, to have tolerance. I'll just tell you right now, I told you, I'm a counselor. I work at an agency right now, but I got these ideas brewing in my head and everything. And I've talked to people about them, but you know what? This idea of patience, and you don't need instant gratification, Tim. Just stay on the road, stay on the path, and just keep moving forward, and let it develop and put it in God's hands. I need to keep working on those things. I really do. It's not, I truly got the idea. It's not that you get it and it's over with. It's not. And I learned some things in school that, with loss and grief, stuff can come up, whether it's cyclical or you might have, it happened 20 years ago. And in my case, losing my dad 30 years ago plus, I dealt with that. There's times when it does pop up, and I'm a little blue, and I'm, at least I'm aware of that today. But I'm not what I used to be, with this disease, uncontrolled and everything like that. Guys, I am so grateful to be here. Thank you for allowing me to share my story, update it for you, and love y'all. Have a great day and a great week.